Hello, welcome to Feed, Play, Love, the bite-sized podcast for parents. I'm Siobhan Hunt. This is a show all about parenting. I speak to experts and carers about everything from fussy eating, toddler behaviour, sleep and more. Pregnancy and birth can take a toll on your body. You are, after all, growing and birthing a small human. Organs move around, muscles stretch, and there are all kinds of physical feelings you've never had before. And that's all before your baby's been delivered. Whether it's through C-section or vaginally, most of us need time to recover after labour. Liz Evans is a physiotherapist specialising in women's health and the co-founder of the Empowered Motherhood Program. And she's all about supporting women before and after childbirth. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Hi, Siobhan. I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you managing lockdown?
Oh, I think just as best as I can, like everybody else is. I mean, I'm one of those people that are still working face-to-face. So I think that I'm actually getting a little bit more interaction than some others that literally their once-a-week physio appointment is the only interaction they get. So when they get there, they tell me their entire week's adventure.
I love it.
So I feel a bit like a psychologist because I'm like literally the one person they speak to in an entire week other than the ones that they're, you know, surrounding themselves with at home. But it's, I think everyone, that the mood in Australia at the moment is definitely starting to shift, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about your program. I mean, you're as I mentioned in the introduction, you're a specialist in women's health with your physiotherapy. But what made you decide to actually create an exercise program for pregnant women and mums?
So, yeah, look, I've been a women's health physio for a very long time now. And I have, over the years, heard the same thing over and over again from my patients, which is, I wish somebody had have told me that this could have happened. I wish I had have known. So there's the resounding similarity between them all is just a real lack of being prepared, not just for birth. There's a lot of emphasis, I think, put on birth, but there's very little emphasis put on preparing the body for birth and preparing the body for pregnancy, but also in some ways even more importantly, what happens day one after the birth. So, you know, there's birth preparation courses that prepare for that one day, and then we've got the postnatal period where women find themselves all sorts of changes that have happened to their body, and some of them are actually can be so severe that they impact the woman so intensely in terms of physically, emotionally, sexually, and the ongoing ramification for that into their life is huge. And they're the women that I've been working with for a very long time. And I've just felt like there's got to be a better way. I'm all about preventative kind of care and let's get to people as early as we can. I've had two children myself and I went through kind of the system and saw the journey and the amount of information that women get along the way, and it's not a lot and it's not enough. And it, you know, I've been giving this information on a one-on-one level for a very long time, and I essentially got to the point where I just wanted to reach more women to prevent these issues from arising or getting onto them at a very early level to prevent them really overtaking a woman's life. And that's where I guess the brains behind starting the Empowered Motherhood program came from.
When you talk about preparing the body for birth, what are the key areas we need to think about?
So I think of preparing the body for birth in three main ways. I think of preparing the brain. So we have to actually prepare the brain with education and also some mental preparation for what birth is actually going to be like. We have to prepare the nervous system. We need to train women to get into what we call the parasympathetic nervous system. So the parasympathetic nervous system is actually our rest and digest system. And we need to be able to get into this system to actually feel safe. When we feel safe, then we can actually open up and then the birthing process can actually start. But a lot of women live in fear about labour, and so they actually really struggle to get into that parasympathetic nervous system because they live in sympathetic. And then, of course, we come into the physical preparation of the body. And when we're talking about the physical preparation, we're talking about very much, I think, physically, I really focus around the pelvis and the abdominal area for obvious reasons, that that's where the baby comes from, whether it is vaginal delivery or cesarean. And the physical preparation, which is when people think physio, they kind of definitely think more physical, is inside the pelvis. So internal, inside the pelvis, we've got all of the pelvic floor muscles. And when we think about as the baby comes out of the birth canal, there's a lot of preparation and whatnot that goes into the right breathing. And a lot of women that have had a baby might have heard about a little bit of perineal stretching. But before the baby even hits the perineum, it has to come through the actual pelvic floor, so what we call the hiatus of the pelvic floor. And we've got so many really kind of strong muscles in there, and preparing those muscles for birth is essential. It is like deciding to go and, you know, run a marathon or do a 3-hour, you know, workout with never having done any stretching or preparation beforehand.
So those are the things that you're talking about with birth, but I'm sure you also see women in your clinic who have complaints that they suffer or things that they suffer during pregnancy. If we've already fallen pregnant, are we able to prepare our bodies for carrying that baby if we haven't previously done those kinds of exercise, like not even labour, just carrying the baby?
Once we are pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So pregnancy is 9 or 10 months, depending on how where your due date falls and where you count it from. But pregnancy, yeah, it is that period of time. And so you've got that period of time to actually strengthen your body. Now, absolutely going into pregnancy, if you prepare yourself prior to that, you know, that's absolutely what we'd prefer women to do. But we talk about preparing the pelvic floor, and so we talk about, you know, strengthening the pelvic floor, let's say, and that is very much about strengthening the pelvic floor to cope with the increased demands of the weight of the baby as the baby grows and as the uterus increases in size and the placenta grows and all of that weight that goes down through the pelvic floor. But also very much so what we are trying to do is keep those pelvic floor muscles active so that after the baby is born, we're very well connected to the pelvic floor. And if we're connected to the pelvic floor, we're going to be able to activate it much quicker in the postnatal period. Now, in pregnancy, I'm just going to clarify something earlier that I said about preparing the body. What I will do with my women is keep their pelvic floor strong up until around 34 weeks. So keep doing pelvic floor exercises if they are somebody that has a weaker pelvic floor. But then from around 34 to 35 weeks, I actually get most of my women to stop doing pelvic floor exercises, and instead we work on the reverse. So we work on actually relaxing the pelvic floor and opening up the pelvic floor muscles in the vagina, because that's essentially what needs to happen in birth. And if the muscles only know to tighten and squeeze and tighten and squeeze, then when it comes their time to actually relax and release, they don't know how to do it. So we very much need to prepare women towards the end of pregnancy for that. And so that's early when I was talking about pelvic floor preparation. That might be about teaching women not only to relax their pelvic floor, but whether it's me that does it with them, or I teach them to do it with themselves, or I get some of the women, I get their partner to do it with them. So actually doing deep pelvic floor trigger point releases with their fingers.
Which can be confronting.
Which can be very confronting. See, to me, it's absolutely normal. And it's been quite fascinating, because I get quite a lot of partners that come in to learn it, and or, you know, women that come into the clinic, and I'll see them, you know, weekly up until the birth in those last kind of, you know, 4 weeks, helping them really prepare for birth. And that will be, you know, 10 to 15 minutes worth of vaginal release. And since coronavirus, I've done quite a lot of kind of online Zoom calls where partners sit in, and I've got my vagina model, and I'm teaching them how to do the pelvic floor releasing, and they really kind of, you know, quite enjoy the anatomy lesson, I have to say.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
Obviously this came about, people come to see you when they have complaints. What are some of the most common things you see in clinic post-birth?
So post-birth, It depends on where people come in. So post, we've got all different types of women. So we've got what, some women that come in, and it's so wonderful to see because the women's health physios around the country have done a great job of educating everyone about having a postnatal check. And so we get a lot of women that just come in saying, I'm just here for my postnatal check. And literally my heart sings because that is my time to get to a woman and assess her in these early days and try and prevent anything, you know, really educate her and then prevent issues arising that, you know, may have had some really early warning signs. But the women that are coming and presenting with problems, they might be coming and saying that they're feeling a heaviness or a bulge or like a little bit of a golf ball kind of feeling in the vagina after a walk, or, you know, they might have attempted doing some online high-intensity workouts that they've been doing, and then they feel some heaviness in the vagina. Some women, a lot of women will come in with leaking. A lot of women might just come in, and after they might have tried to have intercourse, they might just say that, you know, that they don't have much tone in the vagina and much sensation. It just feels really, really lax and feels really different. So then I've got other women that come in with fecal incontinence or wind incontinence, and all of these things are things that I see on a daily basis. So they are really, really common. Doesn't get talked about a lot, but you can imagine that this impact for the women that does happen to can be pretty huge, which is very much where my passion comes from, because I've seen when such a small physical problem, so let's say something so simple as let's say, you know, that kind of feeling of a heaviness or a ball in the vagina, which is usually a bit of an early warning sign of a prolapse that is kind of started to occur, that can then stop women exercising because they're worried about it. It can stop women having intercourse because they feel really self-conscious about their vagina, and then the ramifications onto them feeling positive about their body, feeling intimate in a relationship, and that then the kind of impacts on mental health and rates of postnatal depression, you know, it's huge. And so that's why I'm so much on early intervention, and in the Empowered Motherhood program, something that I was really strong on doing was, it's not just exercise, it's education. So I do a lot of face to camera education sessions in there, educating women about the anatomy of the pelvic floor, of the abdominal muscles, of early warning signs of prolapse or incontinence, and what to do, and interviews with obstetricians and midwives and all of the experts around that I've got contacts with and that I kind of deal with regularly to help my women. I guess I wanted to put that all into one place so that women could access that and really try and prevent these problems from occurring.
So you do have, in this program, you have specifically designed courses for women who, one of those courses is for women who experience incontinence and prolapse.
Mm.
So how did you put it together? You mentioned that you want to educate women as well, but it is also an exercise program, is it not?
It is. It's both. So what we've kind of got three main pillars in there. So exercise is a big one, and there's exercise that goes from pregnancy, so first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, and then it goes into the postnatal period all through to kind of, you know, 12, 18 months postnatal. So it takes women step by step from day one after they've had birth all the way through in terms of exercise. And the exercise is everything that starts with very basic physio-based kind of exercise rehab style to cardio, strength, weights, bar workouts, yoga, you know, a whole range of different kind of workouts. So that's the exercise component. And then we've got the education, and then there's kind of a whole lot of expert interviews. So it's kind of tried to encompass it all. So I think you asked about how did I put it together, the exercise?
Well, I guess I was thinking if you're a woman listening now and you've had a baby and you're looking at engaging again in exercise, but you may have incontinence or a prolapse, is this somewhere they can start, or would you suggest they go and see a women's health physio and then move on from there? I mean, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so both, if they can. So basically, like, this is my absolute passion, you know, in terms of, so this is actually how the Empowered Motherhood program came about. So Kimberly Smith was a patient of mine who has had three children, and after her first child had significant prolapse and incontinence, and she was a professional athlete prior to that, and so the impact on herself and her self-esteem and everything was just so overwhelming, and she couldn't believe the lack of information out there. And despite the fact that I was guiding her through as a physio, she was trying to do exercise and just felt really, really lost. And so that's why, you know, the prolapse and incontinence side is really where we kind of, you know, our passion kind of came together. So for women that have prolapse or incontinence, people can start this program without seeing a women's health physio, but throughout the entire program, I encourage women to get to women's health physio for that, you know, in that postnatal period for their 6-week check, or if they've missed a 6-week check, just at some point, because there's so many women that, first of all, we need to diagnose what's going on. And so, you know, there might be a lump or a bulge or a heaviness in the vagina, and that it can be some other things. So we want to be sure it is a prolapse. Incontinence is pretty clear. You're either continent or you're not. So women will know if they're leaking or not. But going to women's health physio will mean that women will learn if they're activating the muscles the right way. So we know that around 40 to 50% of women, when they do a pelvic floor contraction, they're not actually doing the right thing. And, you know, that breaks my heart, because if you're going to put the effort into doing those boring exercises, because let's face it, they are so boring. If you're going to put the effort, no one has time. And so if you're going to put the effort in, you know, make it worthwhile. But the way that I've put the program together is very much, you know, I teach women how to assess their, you know, pop their fingers in their own vagina and get a sense of if they can actually feel a squeeze and get to women's health as soon as they possibly can. But in times like this of coronavirus, or particularly for women that live in the rural area, I was very mindful that we're trying to make this program to help women that don't live in major cities that now have access to really quality education and guidance. And so, you know, in terms of the actual exercise component, it starts out really gentle. And then anything that would put women at risk of a prolapse, you know, getting slightly worse or being overloaded, I don't actually put in the prolapse and incontinence program. Or we've got a lot of pelvic floor in there. We still make women feel like they're actually getting their heart rate up and they get those endorphins going, because that's so important. And that's something that I see all the time. Women come in that they're just devastated because the exercise they used to do and love was, you know, running and, you know, doing aerobics classes or whatever, and what they knew to do isn't available anymore for them, because they kind of feel their symptoms. And so it's giving them a sense of confidence that there's still some great exercise they can do, that they still, you know, feel like they're working their body, and but yet doing things that are safe for their prolapse, and they shouldn't actually leak during the exercises.
You also have a program for recovering from a C-section. I don't find we talk much about this either. Is that something you found in your practice?
Oh, absolutely. It's so I'm pretty open in letting people know that I've had a delivery of each. I've had a vaginal delivery and a cesarean, and they couldn't be more different. It's like having, you know, having foot surgery and shoulder surgery. They are so different in the actual kind of, obviously, the method, and then also the recovery. Now, if you have foot surgery, you'd be on crutches and wouldn't be able to weight bear and do things like that. And if you had shoulder surgery, you'd have your arm in a sling, and you'd be on completely different protocols as to how to best recover and heal and everything. And it's exactly the same for vaginal delivery and cesarean, but yet it all just gets chucked in the same bucket of some postnatal recovery if you have a chance to recover, or if not, let's just off you go and live life and, you know, not even think about the fact that you had abdominal surgery. So I was super passionate about creating a CESAR program because, to my knowledge, I haven't actually come across one that's online and that really specifies it out. But yet those of us that work in clinical practice know that when we're working with someone that hasn't had a CESAR versus a vaginal delivery, we're doing very different things with them, particularly for that first 3 to 4 months.
I can imagine. I mean, it sounds like something that needs very specific care. Well, Liz, it's fascinating, and I think I'm going to go online and check it out a bit more. But thank you so much for talking to us today.
Not a problem, Siobhan. Thank you for taking the time to kind of find out, because the more women that kind of can understand, you know, not just about the Empowered Motherhood program, of course, but just about all of these issues, the more women will talk. And, you know, it's all about educating women, and women are wonderful talkers, and so that's how word spreads. And so that's really helpful that you've taken the time to help us out as well.
No problem. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Siobhan. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Liz Evans. She's a co-founder of the Empowered Motherhood program. There'll be links to their website in the notes of this episode. Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.